Raiders Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Dan Hampton.
We're waiting, fingers, legs crossed, saying, okay, when is Jay Cutler going to become a John Elway type leader?
He tells it how he sees it.
We all know he's got talent. We all know he's got a great upside. But who the hell is he beat?
He speaks his mind.
I have said the practices have got to have some violence in them, some collisions.
Because he's lived it.
Eason, and on his back is Dan Hampton. Hampton not fooled a bit, and the giant M from Arkansas registers another loss.
The giant M from Arkansas. What? He's been ducking me all summer on the golf course. It's amazing. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. Hamp does great work here. You'll hear him with Kaz and the great Ed Obradovich on our new Bears coverage on WGN. He's always on with us after Bears games the next day. You hear him on Steve Cochran. He does great work, and he's our dear friend. Hampo, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Dan.
Gentlemen, hey, you know, we're just hours away from getting this thing kicked off, and I know everyone's excited about it. Cap, and as far as Dodger, you've been hiding in that cocoon called WGN for the last 2 months. Now, whenever you're ready to come out, David, let him go one morning, and then we'll see what happens.
You got a deal.
We'll do that. So I heard you talking about the Bears and what to expect this season, and I have to say, I was a little surprised at your contention that it's all about Jay Cutler again, and a lot depends on what happens with him, because, Dan, I think that Jay Cutler, and I wrote this and I believe it, I think Jay Cutler could have an above-average season by his standards. I think that he could break out of whatever funk he's been in. I think he could actually have a decent year, and the Bears still could stick defensively. That's why I don't put it all at his feet this season.
Well, obviously that makes a lot of sense. I will tell you this. And everything is cyclical, and the league itself overall – it's really not what it was, 10 years ago or 20 or whatever, and it's changing. And you name somebody that plays for the Indianapolis Colts on defense. Just name somebody other than Robert Mathis. And he missed the whole year. And guess what? The last time I checked, those guys were playing for, the AFC title. So I'm just saying,
that's a good point.
If you've got a defensive coordinator that can mix and match and scheme and confuse and keep people off guard, and all the while get some production from an offense, you can be in a lot of games. And all I can tell you is, I don't want to be misled by false optimism. And I understand your contention that, hey, when you got a defense that was this devoid of talent, character, pride, all those things, then guess what? You're going to have problems. But you know what? Who's coming back? Who's coming back? I mean, really, who is – there's going to be a lot of new faces, and it's going to be a completely new scheme. And I'll tell you this. I go back, way back. When Monty Kiffin first came to Arkansas, we were a ragtag defense. And guess what? He put us in a – pretty interesting scheme, and we wound up in the top three in the nation in defense. So, you make yourself a star. We've got a lot of question marks, but we got some players. They're at the open. McPhee has said time and time again, I'm a violent player. That's what you need. You need guys that want to get violent on defense. And next thing you know, people are knocking each other around in practice. Everybody gets better. Everybody builds confidence. We'll see. But I'm just saying, the Jay Cutler equation is still to be determined. But you have some good points about the defense. But all I can tell you is, I've looked around the league, and Vic Fangio, in my estimation, has been as good or better than any coordinator, either side of the ball, the last 3 or 4 years. Hey, he's got a big job waiting for him here, but he wasn't scared, and I haven't heard him panicking about, oh, we need to get this, we need to get that. In a quiet, confident way, he seems to kind of know he's got some answers, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Hampo, do you believe that this team can contend to get to a playoff berth, or no? I mean, it's at best a 7-win football team, because I've got them somewhere between 4 and 6 wins.
Yeah, well, Cap, we'll make a little wager on the side. I could see this team, and I went through the schedule. Okay, Arizona's going to be completely different. We know the Packers will probably win the opener. But then Arizona, then you got to go to Seattle. I could see them going 1-2 starting the season out. But they're pretty much, you know, on equal footing with most every team they play. You know, it's going to be a tough game down in St. Louis, the Rams. Jeff Fisher has got that team. You know, they're bona fide on defense. And now with Foles at the quarterback position, they could cause – there's going to be a lot of surprise teams. But quite honestly, I'm not really worried about Minnesota. I'm not really scared of Detroit. You know, how bad did Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions play here in Chicago last year when they needed to play well and needed to win? I'm just saying, the old saying, tallest midget. Well, I'm just saying there's about 5 elite teams in the NFL, and at some point, you know, we need to be able to compete with all the other ones. Now, when will that happen? Late September, October? I don't know. But I can see this team finding a way to maybe win 10 games. And who knows? Who knows? Hey, stranger things have happened. And I will tell you this. Like I said, the Indianapolis Colts, they have kind of reinvigorated themselves. And they are going to be a team to reckon with this year. And, again, you can't name anybody on defense. They're doing it with a great quarterback, great offensive schemes, and guess what? Make a play here and there, get off the field, let your offense score. A lot of good things can happen.
I like the way you're looking at it, Dan. When you can show me Andrew Luck on the side of the ball with the Bears offense, I'm with you.
But I
do respect the point of view where, okay, it is possible. There are examples in the league where it's not all about defense, and I think the Colts are actually a very good team to point out. Here's a question I have for you, though, from a defensive standpoint. In Chicago, we've never looked at a 3-4 defense. We don't really know sometimes, to some degree, all the complexity that we will be watching. Vic Fangio, you're right. The last 3-4 years, he's been as good as any coordinator in football. Where are the Bears going to get the pass rush from? Where are they going to get the pressure on the quarterback in a 3-4 scheme? Is it going to be from a variety of blitzes, different scheme looks, or is there one position that you're looking at saying, okay, that's the guy?
Well, there's no question that McPhee and Jared Allen have got to be, you know, the two bell cows when it comes to rushing the passer. Willie Young got injured. He won't be a factor till later on. They were, you know, they on paper, those are your three best pass rushers. But, you know, no one really, you know, I know Aldon Smith became a household name in the NFL and really started playing well. But still, there was a lot of those Navarro Bowman and all these other that made an awful lot of plays and became Pro Bowlers and all pros because of the fact that this defense can feature competent athletes that know how to make plays. And, you know, last year, unfortunately, we were abysmal at the line of scrimmage. You know, Lamar Houston, he will be back. How much of a factor? Nobody knows. But you got to think that this kid that they drafted in the second round, Eddie Goldman, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the fact that, you know, way, way, way back when my high school coach, you know, talked me into coming out. And years later, he said, hey, we didn't have anybody like him. Well, we don't really have anybody on this team like this kid, Eddie Goldman. He's humongous, and he's got athletic skills, and he's got a huge upside. So, you know, I will tell you this. Eagle Ferguson, the rest of those young linemen, they're going to have to play, you know, big parts in various roles. But again, you know, Justin Smith is a 15-year veteran that always seemed to make an awful lot of plays. And was he a guy that everybody in the league said, hey, we got to have him, we got to draft him? No. But he seemed to always be able to be at his best and be featured in this Vic Fangio style of defense. And yeah, we've got some guys that need to answer questions in training camp. And yeah, when we go to camp, we're going to have to hit people. We're going to have to see who wants to get after it at the line of scrimmage. But, you know, we're also going to have a interesting transition on the offensive side. the offensive line is actually going to come off the football this year. They're going to try to move people and get away from this nonsense of screening people. You know, Mark Trestman and the offensive style, it was a very finesse-laden offense. We're going to go back to hitting people, knocking them off the line of scrimmage, and having running backs run hard between the tackles. And that's going to be good training for us throughout the first couple of weeks of training camp. Because if you can't stop the run as an interior defense, well, you don't have a chance. And trust me, with Eddie Lacy up the street in Green Bay would like nothing more than just to feature him. And then when we start selling out, you know, of course, Aaron Rodgers kills you over the top. We're going to have to get better stopping the run. But your point about who's going to rush the passer, well, the last time I checked, Green Bay, and you could say what you wanted about the way they kind of squandered that game against Seattle, but Green Bay, you know, they won a lot of games with one guy named Clay Matthews rushing the passer, nobody else. You know, there's ways to scheme it up. Dom Capers has been able to do it. Obviously, Julius Peppers is there now. He helps a little bit. But if you got two or three pass rushers and you're creative and you have a real insight on how to attack offensive lines and their blocking protections, you're not going to be harmless. I don't think we're going to see the days of giving up 50 points back to back. And I think all Bear fans can stand up and salute that.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer, the great Dan Hampton. Hampton, before we let you go, when you look at the way Mark Trestman ran camp, Lovey, they called it Club Lovey because they would practice at night, so it was cooler and not a lot of hitting. You feel like John Fox, Vic Fangio, Adam Gase, these guys are going to say, we know there's different rules now in the CBA, but as much as they allow us, we are going to knock people in the mouth when we get to Bourbon A and find out who the hell wants to turn this thing around.
I hope they will. You know, I got to be down August 6th. For an event, I'm going to go early and see the guys practice. I just know this. You know, looking back, you know, you drive down the interstate, you'll see a bunch of kids out in the play lot hitting baseballs, shooting baskets. You don't see them out there tackling each other. You got to want to you know, hit people. You kind of have to learn to embrace contact. And you can't wait till the first preseason game to do it. You need to do it in training camp. It's got to have violence. You got to stay low. That's how you kind of cut your chops and learn who can cut it and who can't. Well, guess what? I think John Fox is a guy that, you know, when he first went to Carolina, he turned things around. They won six more games that first year. When he went to Denver, he turned things around. They won four games more the first year he was there. So he knows how to kind of clean up some problems and turn things around. And I guarantee you, it all starts in training camp by learning how to block and tackle, something we've gotten away from the last 4 or 5 years.
That's exactly right, and I think it's all about fundamentals. If this Bears team, just to follow up on that point before we let you go, Dan, if this Bears team actually can tackle well and is fundamentally sound on defense, where they should be and can be a little bit disruptive, if this defense is even average, I think they're going to surprise some people. But I just wonder about their ability to get to average.
And when you look at the insistence of them saying, okay, well, Shea McClellan's going to be our starting inside middle linebacker. Okay, you can say it all you want until, you know, he actually proves that he is capable of being not only, you know, competent, but almost, you know, dominant. On defense, you cannot lose battles. I mean, even stalemates will give up a first down. You have got to be dominant. And you're exactly right. You've got to say to yourself, hey, if they're insisting that either Bostic or McClellan is going to be dominant, well, we got to see it. And where does it start? It starts Wednesday. I guess they're going to start hitting on Friday.
Yep.
But over the course of the next 10, 12, 15 days, we're going to find out if they are going to be sound enough inside. And you know what? You got to say what you want about the way they went out and tried to correct some of the problems, but hey, I think they're going to go to camp, and if these guys are not showing that they're going to be competent and capable, I don't think they're going to waste a year. They may make some proactive moves and bring some people in because, you know, again, this is the third what would you call it, group of coaches that have thought that Shea McClellan, you know, could be a player. And, you know, sooner or later, you got to call it what it is. And so that'll be, you know, you watch that. And if the kid is making plays in camp, then everybody's got to feel good. But if he's not, it's going to be on Ryan Pace. You got to make some corrections and changes, and you can't hold a team hostage for a first rounder of 3 years ago.
Hampo, appreciate the knowledge. Really looking forward to you, Kaz, and OB. That's going to be an awesome, awesome listen to every Sunday.
Well, just like you, I'm hoping we've got a lot of good things to talk about and a lot of wins. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan.
All the best. See you out there on the golf course. Bring your wallet.
All right, babe. You got it. Bye.
See you. Bye. There he is, Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. He'll be with us every Monday.
Yeah, he's always a must listen. He brings it. And we will have to remind him on some Monday mornings of the optimism that he shared with us on the end of July.
Yeah, July 27th.
July 27th.
2015.
Yeah, okay. Because he's a lot more optimistic than I expected him to be.
Yeah, and he's a lot more optimistic than I am about the 2015 Bears.
Said they could win 10 games.
Yeah.
I don't see him win 10 games.
But he did just spend, I think he took a week off. He and Moon went to Colorado together. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV adapter in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today, ABT. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's Apt. ABT asks for the great Steve Shapiro, and I hope I see you out there at the great autism golf outing today at Twin Orchard for the Apt Family Foundation that supports autism research. Pleasing people since 1936. Quick timeout. Drake in Iowa is coming up. He's a really good musician, too. Chris Bryant at 11:30. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Again, Addison Russell. Eight hits, 1-2-3 inning.
He's a machine.
To David Ross. He's got a no-no through one. Deep to left. God. The pitcher goes deep.
Oh, man. Have some fun, David Ross.
That was nice to get in here and, you know, the fans chant my name. That was kind of a cool moment in my career. Never had that happen before there in the night. That was pretty neat when I was hitting. And then to come through with a home run was, you know, it was fun. It's lighthearted. Put a smile on a couple guys' faces as well as mine.
Len Casper on ABC 7, and then David Ross after the ball game playing the part of Babe Ruth. A 1-2-3 ninth and a home run after that. Cubs lose, though, 11-5. My son Brett and I were out there, and, boy, we got in our seats. The next thing you know, it's 3-0. They get it to 3-2, and you think, all right, they're coming back.
Jason Hamill still bothered by the hamstring issue?
He just didn't look crisp.
He didn't.
I was sitting right down low. He did not look crisp.
Their starting pitching has gone the other way. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Arrieta had a good day on Saturday. Lester was...
Arrieta pitched well.
He wasn't as dominant as he has been.
Gave up 2 runs, I think.
What am I thinking of then?
Well, and Lester should have won on Friday.
Lester could have won on Friday, yeah.
Mott blew the save.
But they're coming out in comparison to the White Sox. Their starting pitching has not been as good.
Jake Arrieta... His game log from yesterday.
No, from Saturday.
I mean, from Saturday.
He got down early, though, didn't he?
Six innings, 6 hits, 3 runs. They were earned.
Well, three and six. I mean, that's a quality start, right?
Right.
But it's not what ace level stuff that he's been providing. Now, he was definitely going up against a guy who was on top of his game in historic fashion. The White Sox starting pitching has been something that could convince Rick Hahn, if he let it convince him, that they are good enough to get back into the wild card race. If you're Rick Hahn, you're sitting there this morning and
nothing changed my mind.
You've graduated to the level where you're taking Jerry Reinsdorf's phone call, and Jerry Reinsdorf calls and says, what do you think? What do we have? You're saying, We still have to sell, Jerry. And I'm on the phone with every team possible trying to get rid of Jeff Samardzija. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Because we don't want him to start tomorrow night, because if he starts tomorrow night, he risks injury. And any team that's going to deal for him might get less return because it's one less start. I mean, that's the other thing, right?
Correct.
If you deal him Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, then that's, you know, one fewer start he can make for his next
team. Let's play the capothetical game. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Okay? Capothetical. Do. You go to the winter meetings, and you can sign. David Price says, I'll sign with you. Mm-hmm. You only have the money for one. He says, I want 7 years, and I want $185 million.
That's probably not likely.
Or you can get Jeff Samardzija. He says, I'll take 6 years at $150 million.
Wow.
Capothetical.
That's still, I don't think Jeff Samardzija is a $25 million a year pitcher.
Okay, but if that's the market.
I don't think Jeff Samardzija is a $25 million a year pitcher.
So what are you doing?
Then I would be inclined to go for David Price because I know that at least
7 years
at 187 or whatever you said, 185.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, Cap, I mean, we've both bought houses in our lives, right? I'm not putting this on the same level, but once you start to get, like, somebody says, well, hey, I'll throw in another, you know, this or that when you're buying a house. Oh yeah, because once you make a significant investment, how deep can you go? You're already very deep. Mm-hmm. Into the investment game. If you're talking about the difference between $150 million and $187, you're looking for an ace, right? You're saying that I have identified this hole in my budget. I need an ace. If I'm going to go that far down a road.
What if David Price is 7 for 210?
Gets a little
That's
bit less crazy. Then I
Kershaw
think,
and Scherzer.
Then I think I might think none of the above. Maybe.
Who's going to pitch for you? Well, Travis Wood?
I don't know that I want Jeff Samardzija at $150 million. You just want – why did you bring up Samardzija? I want to debate Hamels versus Price. I don't want to debate Samardzija.
Because I'm talking free agents where you don't have
I'm
to give up
I'm not signing Jeff Samardzija as a free agent if I'm the Cubs. He's going to want to be overpaid. And
they
some team
do.
Is going to
– I want to be overpaid.
There's a difference, I think, between overpaying John Lester and Jeff Samardzija. John Lester legitimized your plan. Mm-hmm. John Lester comes to your team with a World Series pedigree. Two rings, an aura. Quirkiness, certainly. We found that out the hard way. Idiosyncrasies all over the place. John Lester's not Jeff Samardzija. Okay? John Lester is, at the point of their growth, worth the Cubs overpaying for. Jeff Samardzija, a lot of sizzle, not as much steak.
The last six, seven starts, he's been excellent.
Congratulations, given the Cy Young for turning things around. But even that said, Cap, that's worth a lot of money to a team. It's not worth $25 million a season.
$20
million.
6 for $120 million.
He's not going to take that. He wants paid. He's waited for free agency for
That's
a reason.
That's not getting paid, 6 for $120 million?
The guy turned down 5 for $85 million last year before all this stuff. So that was, what, 17? I can do the math. He turned down 17 a year ago. 2 years later, he's going to take settle for $20 million? I don't know. I think he wants to get elite money. It's all about the respect factor. He'd not be at the top of my list. I know that probably is, and if I were the White Sox, I'd be very careful negotiating with him down the road. Will he give them a shot? Certainly no hometown discount coming. No way.
No shot.
No way. I don't know that makes a lot of sense. That's a ton of money. These long-term contracts for pitchers, they're going to get it, but I think they make you a lot real nervous. And if you're the Cubs, and say you sign David Price 7 years, $200 million, now you've got $350 million tied up in the contracts of two guys that are two arm injuries away from financial ruin for your franchise. I mean, that'd be a bad investment. I don't know.
That's why you go get Cole Hamels. Colbert Hamels. Say it with me. Colbert.
Who are you giving up? You giving up Addison Russell?
No. You don't have to.
Javi Baez?
I don't think you have to.
Well, who are you going to give up? We'll come back. You give me the three names that you think that would take to get Cole Hamels.
I'll put the deal together.
All right, put it together.
Kevin Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That is the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, these guys win. 312-235-2525. Drake in Iowa's first, then Jim in Oak Lawn, and Darren in Iowa. That's all coming up. Your calls, plus in our studio, Dan Wiederer, Weeds, Chicago Tribune Bears writer, had a great 78,000-word article.
No, it wasn't that long. It was worth the time.
It was close.
It was long.
It's like, oh, my God, I need a rest after I got done reading it. But it was very well done. All about John Fox. And we'll have Chris Bryant at 11:30.
Cut into your People Magazine time.
I was on the patio with my coffee at 6:30 yesterday morning.
Who's on the cover of Us Weekly this week anyway?
Demi Moore.
Okay.
312-235-2525. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Right now our focus is, you know, trying to find the best fits for us. Yeah, I think we have confidence that if a move makes sense, we'll be able to figure it out financially.
Would it be a disappointment to stand pat?
You're never going to do anything that's going to be detrimental to the future of the franchise. So, you know, if the prices never make sense, then you can't force yourself into a position. A lot of teams have had very good runs in the second half when they didn't make significant moves. I mean, there's also a lot of deals we made in August, I think, as the Pirates have shown in the last few years. You know, listen, like I said, we're working hard, and hopefully that we will find, you know, good fits over the next 7 days.
Jed Hoyer, Friday before the ball game, discussing a multitude of subjects.
Yeah.
Budget to thoughts of the front office on what they might go do. It was pretty transparent.
Good Kevin to see Hall, Jed.
Comcast Sportsnet, WGN, plus 312-235-2525. The great Dan Wiederer, who I think is part of an article that's online at the Tribune right now that was written from Happy Hour. He says go over 7 wins in Vegas on the Bears.
We'll have to talk to him about that.
Rich Campbell, obviously, reading in a much more low-stress environment.
Yeah. We'll talk to him
about that. He says go under.
So Jed was pretty good on Friday at Wrigley. Good to see him.
Yeah, and while Jed was speaking, two of our brethren in broadcasting
got a little testy.
That would be one Bruce Levine, one George Hoffman.
Yeah.
Shorty George.
And things like that happen. On a
My
beat.
Turn to ask a question.
It was really not as bad as maybe some people are you know, saying that it
so
was. And Joe Madden had fun with it.
He shows up in the media room, press room. David and I are in there, and Madden walks in with an old school catcher's mask on. Everyone's looking at him. He goes, heard it got a little testy out there this morning.
Yeah, and it lightened the mood.
And then Dwight from Channel 7.
Yeah.
Great cameraman. Dwight says at the end, hey, could you put the mask back on a second? We didn't get to shoot that.
How about that?
And Joe said, sure. And he put it on. You got it? Everybody got that? Okay.
Well, when Dwight Payne asks for something, you get it. And Joe Madden was a good sport.
Dwight's a veteran. He's a stud.
Definitely.
Great guy.
Playing along. And that just, to me, it was indicative of the just – another way, Joe Madden understands the temperature in the room.
That we all have jobs to do the whole day.
Well, that too. But I think he also, you know, he understands how to change
the narrative.
The narrative or loosen people up. It could have been tense. It could have been awkward. The CCC happened.
I liked his answer when I asked him about how do you come in here and how did you change the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good.
Yeah, well, he said a lot of it was premeditated. You know, you come into a situation like this and you have to know what you're getting into. And he was very good, he has probably addressed that before. At the same time, when you're going through the process the Cubs are going through, that's going to be a constant theme. You know, how is this different? Why is it different this time? How are you going to sustain this? He's the right guy for that job because he does not seem to have bad days. Really. And there's a difference between Ricky Renteria being, and with due respect, but Ricky Renteria coming always being in an upbeat mode and almost not acknowledging, so upbeat that it seemed like you're not acknowledging the elephant in the room, which is that you're bad or that you struggled or that you lost today. I don't think Joe Maddon is in denial when he's in upbeat like that. It's very natural. It doesn't seem rehearsed. And he's looking at the benefits of bad baseball or struggling or handling failure. Everything about this season, as he described in talking to him further, was how these young guys are relying on four rookies now. How are they going to handle failure? You know, and how that will help them achieve success. So everything, he's got a method to his madness, if you want to call it that, the madness. Method to the madness.
Madness.
Yeah,
that's good. There
you
I like
go.
That.
And
use that in your column.
I'll have to write that down next time I write about the Cubs.
Because my buddy Dave Abrams texted me, Joe is maddening.
A lot of people are upset about the way he handled the David Ross thing yesterday and laughing about it afterwards.
He didn't like that. He didn't like the fact, and I'm getting it from other people, that the pitcher's hitting eighth. It's like, just chill, man.
Well, that's his thing, right?
Right.
And if you had no issues with it before this losing streak, then you kind of have to, you know, take the bad with the good. The only thing I took issue with over the weekend was that Kyle Schwarber should have played Saturday. And Kyle Schwarber, with a team that's struggling offensively, should be in the lineup as much as possible.
All right, let's go to the phones. Drake's in Iowa. Drake, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Drake.
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Love your music.
thanks. I have a question about the Cubs this upcoming free agency. I think this lineup really needs a good veteran bat, and I was wondering, what about the addition of Jason Hayward or Justin Upton into this lineup?
You're going to give up a lot, and I don't think you're going to get any of those.
You mean, are you
this
talking
year.
About as a free agent?
It's free agent.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're gonna pay a lot of money.
Yeah, that's going to be an off-season acquisition, and I don't know that. I think their money cap. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if the Cubs are going to really dig deep to pay or overpay a free agent, it's going to be a pitcher.
I would think, although a guy like Jason Hayward patrolling left field or center. I don't know if probably left field.
Be
pretty good.
Oh,
because Hayward's, I mean, his power's gone down a lot. I mean, like, he hasn't had, I don't think he's had a 20-year season since 2012. I mean, his home runs are going down, and, I mean, his average is still pretty high, but I think they could get him for cheaper than what you'd think.
I don't know, Drake. Thanks for the phone call. I don't know about that. Free agency, you never take anything for granted in terms of cost. I don't think they would get him cheap at all.
Capathetical, my friend Dan says on Twitter, capathetical, David Haw, Cole Hamels for pick any three of these, Arismendi Alcantara, Albert Almora, CJ Edwards, Starlin Castro, Javi Baez, any three.
I don't know.
Capathetical.
Are any three of those going to get you Cole Hamels?
I think, yeah, I do think so.
All right, then Alcantara, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the second one?
Almora.
Okay.
CJ Edwards. Castro Baez.
I'd throw in Baez and Edwards.
You'd throw in Baez, Edwards, and Alcantara?
Would that get you Cole Hamels?
Baez, Edwards, Alcantara. I'd do that in a second.
Yeah. Would that get you Cole Hamels? No. No.
It might.
Guys, who wants Alcantara? He couldn't stick. No, that's not going to get you Cole Hamels. Alcantara's a throw-in. They will take no throw-ins. Don't you think the Dodgers and Rangers have better packages than that?
Reportedly, the Dodgers will not include their top guys.
And the Yankees have a couple untouchables on their list.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, Luis Severino. So, we'll see.
Greg Bird. Jorge Mateo. Those names ring a bell. Minor league baseball.
Yeah, all four of them.
Okay.
Aaron Judge is 6'7", 230 pounds. He's a monster.
Wow.
Hitter. Luis Severino is an elite minor league arm. They also have Gary Sanchez, a very good catcher, who has not been as fast-tracked at one point as they thought. I believe the Dodgers have Corey Seager,
mm-hmm.
and Urias, a kid named Urias, that they are being asked to include. Neither one they're apparently willing to part
And
with.
You think the Cubs are going to lure Cole Hamels here with Alcantara?
Well, he's not the centerpiece of the deal. Javi Baez would be.
Javi Baez, Carl Edwards Jr., and Alcantara for Cole Hamels.
I'd do it.
Well, I probably would do that too, but I just don't think it's within the realm of possibility. It's very competitive out there for Cole. Don't they want a major league ready arm? Hey, how come in all these deals that you're talking about for a guy like Cole Hamels, you haven't heard Kyle Hendricks' name mentioned? Because he's a major league ready arm.
He could be in a deal.
Would you be more likely to want to deal him if that would be the thing that would put you over the top?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Now.
Tonight.
11:30. So, I don't know. See, the thing is, Cap.
Hamels does not make another start for the Phillies. That's my prediction.
Well, he's not scheduled to pitch again until Friday, correct?
Thursday, I thought.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, Thursday. So that's probably a
safe bet. Does Samardzija start tomorrow?
I think he's going to.
Did you hear how mad Johnny Cueto was on Saturday? So Johnny Cueto's warming up. I don't know if Mike heard this or not. It wasn't in your notes. I don't know if you heard this. Johnny Cueto's warming up in the bullpen. And down comes Michael Lorenzen, and he starts throwing on the other mound next to him. And Cueto goes, hey, man, I'm warming up for the game. What are you doing? He said, they didn't tell you? He said, tell me what? I think you're getting traded. They told me to go warm up.
Oh, that's bad.
And he's like, what?
That's bad form.
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes before the game. He's like, wait a minute. They told you to come warm up? He's like, yeah. So he gets loose. Trade falls through because one of the guys they wanted didn't have the proper medicals. So Cueto starts, I think he went 8 innings, pitched great, and then gets traded yesterday morning.
And, you know, the Reds got some pretty good arms in return.
Yeah, Keith Law said they made a very good trade. Two back-of-the-rotation starters, 4 or 5s, and a major league reliever.
And, pitch in the and I think the Royals, though, did what they had to do.
Had to.
That's a really good trade for them. They're going to be difficult to beat.
They are. But, again, they probably won't re-sign him.
No, but this year, if they – can they win the World Series with that rotation? They can, can't they? They would gladly let him go to free agency if they have to find him to send him his World Series ring. Be worth it, even though they gave up the three prospects. Because they're in that position, Cap. The Cubs aren't in that position. Really? You're not sure yet, are you?
Cubs are not in that position.
They're not in a position to win a World Series this year.
Dominican Republic Marriott, may I help you? Yes, is Johnny Cueto there? I've got his ring for him.
Hey, what's going to happen with Rafael Soriano? What's next for him?
He's not real good.
And
to his credit, we watched him warm up and then watched him start to pitch the other night at CSN, and Todd Hollinsworth, who knows his baseball, said
he's done.
He doesn't have a lot, guys.
He doesn't see him.
He said he is not a high leverage guy right now. He said, could he get the arm strength back? Maybe. But he said, I don't see it. And then he gave up the home run the other day.
So,
Holly texted
go back.
What'd I tell you?
Did he say that? Is he an I told you so guy?
No, he's not.
No.
But he had first guessed this.
He did a first guess. That's good. So when you look at all the Cubs' needs, and, you know, the hitting speaks for itself. They need some hitting. The starting pitching commands most of the conversation. What about Papelbon?
Depends what I got to give up.
You're not going to have to give up as much for Papelbon as you are some of the other guys.
Agreed.
He was in town. He was hugging Jed before the game.
I saw them walking almost hand in hand.
I know. There's that relationship there.
Papelbon's bigger than I thought, too. He's a big dude.
He's cut.
Big.
He is pretty defined.
He's jacked.
Has a lot more definition than I thought, too. He was walking around with that sleeveless.
Yeah, and I'm like,
whoa,
who is that
who's
guy?
That? Yeah, who's that guy? Who's
and
the lifeguard?
Then somebody turned to me and goes, that's Papelbon.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, we need him. Bring him over.
That did it for you, right?
Yeah. All right, let's roll through these calls. Fast, quick timeout, roll through the calls, and Dan Wiederer will bring his special brand of Bears analysis and knowledge to our studio at 55 past the hour. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Definitely wasn't the way the weekend was supposed to go. For my role today was just garbage. Unacceptable. Just too many pitches up in the zone and didn't really stick with the game plan at all. So, you know, hats off to them. They came out swinging. They, you know, obviously things going right for them right now.
That's Jason Hamill, who was not good yesterday. He was awful. It happens. It's going to happen. He was bad. But hopefully he will rebound and pitch better in his next start. Cap'n Haw continues. WGN Plus, and you watch it live on Comcast SportsNet. Don't forget, Cap'n Haw Rewind tonight at 11.
Baseball is so funny. I mean, you see the White Sox look the way they looked and before they went into Cleveland, and all of a sudden they sweep the Indians. The Phillies, since the All-Star break, there's not been a better team in the National League. How do you explain that stuff? So just when you start to believe in the White Sox, they could break your heart in the next series. They go into Boston, get swept. You don't know that they will. You don't know that they won't. But it's got to be crazy to try to determine, chart a course for the future of the White Sox if you are in their front office, because they are a team that just does the opposite of what you expect. Yeah.
The opposite?
They sort of do the opposite. I mean, really, you think that they're on a roll coming out of the All-Star break, right? They went in winning 9 out of 12. They lose 5 of the first 6. You thought they'd be better than that, competitive at least. So you think, okay, they're done. They're done. Start selling.
And then they sweep Cleveland.
They sweep Cleveland.
4 straight.
Now you're like, you're tempted. You're tempted.
And I believe they didn't walk a batter the entire weekend. All 4.
I think it's
last
the greatest,
5 games, 0-1.
I think it's the greatest starting pitching performance Hawks ever seen.
Other than the 0-5 World Series. 312-235-2525. Jim in Oak Lawn. James, what's going on there, Studley?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Before I start talking about the Cubs, I just want to tell you have 2 big fans. My sons, they came home from college in May, and I'm watching you guys on TV, and my one son says, boy, that sure looks like a Cardinals helmet. I said, Arizona Cardinals? He said, no, Ball State. So they both go to Ball State, so we Googled you and saw you're a graduate from there, and they become big fans and love the show, and I do too.
Great,
appreciate
Jim.
It.
Thanks
very
a lot.
Kind.
Go Cards.
And well, and now I'm sure you guys are going to go at it. What is it, September 25th on that Friday, the day before Ball State goes to play Northwestern?
Absolutely.
In Evanston. So
Ball State's playing Northwestern?
Yes.
What, Northwestern have academic kind of, standards?
What kind of no, my sons both made the dean's list. They have their mother's brains, that's for sure.
That's great, Jim.
But anyway, I was wondering what your thoughts are. I'm a Sox fan, and I had to really look to see if I lost 2 months of my life, because I have never, until this year, heard about the wild card July 1st. I mean, they would always talk about it September 1st, but I just can't believe all the hype for the Cubs. If these guys start coming through, I mean, we'll see what happens. But they really have been hyping that. And I really don't think that the Cubs are going to be able to get Cole Hamels for Baez or Castro. I mean, Castro's got $37 million left. Baez was the new Soriano last year, throw it in the outside batter's box. He won't swing at a strike. What are you guys' thoughts?
Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate the phone call.
I don't, Jim, best of luck to your kids, too. I don't think the Cubs are overhyped. I just think they're young, and people have – they got a taste of it when they were 2.5, 3.5 up in front. Maybe I think 3.5, 3 mm-hmm. was the highest they've had a lead in the wild card. And they got all excited, and now they're like, whoa, wait, we're not that good. They're young. It's going to take time.
And the wild card discussion is by design. And I think the Royals are the latest team to look at. They got in last year as a wild card. And look what they did. So I think that, you know, it's been good for baseball in that it gives so many teams renewed hope, is that you feel like you don't have to win the division. You don't even have to be the first wild card. If you just get in and play the extra game, who knows? Anything can happen. So that's why you're starting to hear about it July 1st, because so many teams want to make the right move to get into that position.
Correct.
So that's
and
why.
And both teams last year going to the World Series, and that's not the first time that it's happened.
No.
Continues to strengthen that case.
All you've got to do is get in.
That's it. Get in the dance. The Cardinals won a World Series, winning 83 games. 312-235-2525. Tom is in Iowa. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
How are we doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
With the Cubs looking for starting pitching, shouldn't our team sign Jake Arrieta to a long-term deal?
They will. They'll get there. They control him. He's not a free agent, so they got other
no
priorities
hurry.
Right now.
No hurry.
I thought his contract was up at the end of the year.
Yeah, but he's not a free agent. Contract. Yeah, but he's not been in the league 6 years. He's not a free agent.
Okay. What do you think it's going to cost the Cubbies?
If they go to him at the end of this year, you're probably looking to buy him out of the remainder of arbitration, the start of free agency. I'm guessing they get him on a 5-year deal somewhere around $80 million?
75, I was going to say. Probably around there. 75 to 80. That's probably going to be the going rate for Jake Arrieta.
It's going to cost a lot.
Yep. It's going to be a significant investment, Tom. Thanks for the phone call. But I think that, you know, in the going rate, and you look at the marketplace for pitchers, if they can lock him up for that kind of those that
gotta
many years, you got to do it.
Bill in Atlanta. What's going on there, Buffalo Bill?
Hey, Bill.
All right, not much, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
for the
call.
Enjoy watching your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on something you were talking about earlier. Let's don't trade Castro. I don't know. This kid is too good. He's too young to give up on right now. And everything that goes wrong, it's not always Castro's fault. Now, having said that, I agree with what you were saying about the minor leaguers to get Hamels, get Cole Hamels, and maybe throw in the pitcher that pitched yesterday. That might be enough to bring him to Chicago. We still need a closer. No matter who they get, they got to get somebody at the back end to close the deal.
That was a problem on Friday, certainly. Yeah, yeah, Bill. Yeah.
That's the first save that Mott, and we appreciate the call, Bill. That's the first save Mott's blowing this year.
It is.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. David Robertson has had those moments on the south side. The best of closers are going to blow saves. I think that his point was that he maybe identifies closer as a bigger need than starting pitcher. I think that's a good debate. But in regard to
I disagree.
Trading Jason Hamill.
You're not trading him.
You're not trading Jason Hamill.
No, you're not.
He was very solid the first half.
Yeah, you wonder, he's not giving you a ton. You're not getting a ton for him. You signed him to a two-year deal. He wanted to be here. They traded him away once. He's not moving.
Good guy to have around.
Yeah. 312-235-2525. Dan Weider is going to join us in a second. Let's get Darren in Iowa. Hey, Darren, what's up there, buddy?
Hey, Darren.
Hey, good morning, Captain Hump. You know, I wanted to wait until training camp actually started before I call.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I did, I listened to Dan Hampton this morning, and I kind of agree with him. I think the Bears' defense is going to be better than what we think it is. Now, as far as 10 wins, Cap, I think they're going to win 8 games, maybe 7 at the least. I just see Vic Fangio putting in a defensive scheme I think is going to throw people off guard. Now, one other question before I do let
you don't go. Throw because NFL teams off guard. Let me just tell you that.
Exactly. And now, one other thing before I do let you go. We played the Green Bay Packers our first game of the season.
Yep.
I think the Bears are going to beat them Packers at game one. I really do.
Hold on, Darren. What would give you reason to think they're going to beat the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, think about what you're saying here, Darren. There's no reason. There's no basis that really anything based in reality that you can say the Bears are going to beat the Packers in week one.
Okay, I'm going to give you a reason why. Okay, Aaron Rodgers for the last 10 years seen the Bears run a 4-3 defense. Now we're going to a 3-4. Don't you think Vic Fangio's going to throw everything at Aaron Rodgers that Aaron Rodgers has not seen from the Bears defense before? I think that's why we're going to beat them.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
That.
At least you have a reason. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate the phone call. Don't agree with it, but I appreciate the phone call. I think our next guest picked the Bears to beat the Packers in week one.
Oh, he's not that
Yes, he did. Yes, I think he did. I think I'll let him defend that. Odd choice.
No way he
himself.
Did that.
He did. I think he did. Aaron Rodgers has played against 3-4 defenses before.
Yeah, he has.
Okay. I don't know that he's played against 3-4 defenses as soft as the Bears are going to look. I still tell me they have 3-4. The math is 3-4, right? Who are the four? Who are the four?
Who are the three?
Who are the three?
We'll get to all that. 312-235.
Vic Fangio's here, though, Cap. I don't know if you heard.
25.
He's a genius.
Goodness yeah, all sakes. Of a sudden, it's like, oh, we got this really smart defense coordinator. Right.
Yeah. You know why he was a genius in San Francisco?
Yeah, because he had Aldon Smith and you name him,
you
Patrick
Willis.
You look
pretty smart, too, if you say Patrick Willis. Tackle that guy.
Cap and Hop brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history. Horowitz and Horowitz and Associates won the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and they got the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz, and Associates, these guys win. Quick timeout, Dan Weider of the Tribune talking Bears with us next.